You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. Two hat tricks in four games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Mod Podge. Whole Mod Podge of rumors.
This is a transfer Mod Podge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe, and I am surrounded. I cannot get away from the hashtag talent in this room. David Goss is with me. Matt, the armchair analyst. Doyle is here. Ben, the Oracle Bear. A new nickname for you because this is the prediction show. It's the fifth of five shows this week leading into the very first game of the 2017 MLS season. Boys, how's it going? We got the first game tonight. Minnesota Timbers, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, FS1. I've said that like 5 million times in the last week. It's good to see all of your...
What time again?
It's at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, FS1.
Yeah. There you go.
All the coverage, MLSsoccer.com. It's like a... It's like an old t-shirt. I just put it on and it just feels so good. No, we're not going back to that. How you feeling?
I'm jacked.
Yeah, of course you're jacked.
I mean, I'm always jacked, but this is like... Almost, I'm at like a 9 out of 10 right now.
Yeah,
like, give me like another couple hours, I'll be at Taylor Kemp.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I was like a 4 out of 10 heading into last season for some reason. I don't know why. I think maybe the malaise over the national team at that point, and the signings last season weren't quite as exciting. With what we've seen this offseason, I don't know, man. Like this, I haven't been this jacked before in MLS season since like maybe 2010. Maybe even longer. This is going to be great.
Yeah, it's great. And we're around the round table here. It's like Knights of the Round Table, except, you know.
Nerds of the Round Table.
Yeah, Nerds of the Round Table is much better, yes. And like I said, we're doing predictions because the season starts tonight. You're listening on Friday. If you haven't checked out the rest of the week, we've given you a bumper crop of shows to get you prepared for the 2017 season. You got the Eastern and Western Conference previews, an interview with Jesse Marsh. Hercules Gomez helps us out west. Of course, he's got a ring from the Seattle Sounders run to MLS Cup in 2016. We also talked to Peter Walton and 2016 Referee of the Year, Alan Kelly. If you want to go behind the scenes with the men in the middle, I know you're all armchair referees. You're all going to be complaining about this. So will we during the season at times. That's just the nature of refereeing. But you should go get an idea of what they're going through, what they're focusing on for the year. And then John Strong also helped you out and talked to you about MLS broadcasting. And we spit hot fire with Ben Bear, who was then the research bear, not the Oracle, and Mark McClure, who helped you out with that MLS Live. Weekend national TV here, that's a big slate. It's a packed slate, as you might imagine. I told you about tonight.
Wait. Yeah. I feel like we should do the dial-in thing. Every time Ben Bear comes on the show. That has to be his introduction.
We might clip that audio out for you. Or something. I don't know. I really like the Oracle. Or Mr. 0%, kind of like Mr. Worldwide.
I like that better, yeah.
You like that better? Yeah. I don't know if it matters what you like here.
No, probably
look,
doesn't.
Saturday, LA Dallas, 4 p.m. Eastern on Univision is a great game to watch. And then Sunday, it's three matches. It starts at 5 p.m. on ESPN, Orlando and NYCFC. Christ going back to Central. Excuse me. He's in Central Florida. He's taking on NYCFC and Patrick Vieira for the first time. Atlanta, New York, that's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern, FS1, the first ever home game there at Bobby Dodd Stadium for Atlanta United. And then a bunch of games in Canada you can watch as well. All the coverage, MLSsoccer.com. All the listings, MLSsoccer.com. Also, before we get to the predictions, and believe me, we will get there, on Sunday, Doyle, you and I are going to get together and do a little bit of studio show on Facebook Live. That starts at 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll run through all the highlights. We'll give some takes, some hot, some lukewarm, hopefully none cold, and then we'll check in with Stephen Keel in Orlando and Susanna Collins in Atlanta as they take in those big first weekend matches there.
Where's Kalen? Kalen gets
Kalen's in Orlando.
Okay, I thought he got the weekend off
He's still working on it, but I do want to tell you to go watch the Black History Month panel that Kalen was a huge part
of producing. It might be the very best thing we've ever had on MLSsoccer.com. Yeah. Everybody has to watch it. Josie got real.
Greg
Howard, who is probably my favorite journalist working, everything he writes is a must read. He very insightful. And, of course, the guy from FC Haarlem, whose name
Irv
from FC Haarlem was wonderful. Lynn from, you know, NWS.
Went out and scored a goal, too.
Yeah. So, obviously, good luck. She got a bump. And Kevin Brown always does great work. Guys, watch this. Important stuff being talked about in society and relating it back to soccer. It matters to all of us.
It definitely does. And now we are going to talk predictions. And we are just the four to really butcher these, because we've got the Oracle, Mr. 1%. I'm, you know, I'm the Wando.
1%.
Well, 0%.
Thank you.
Sorry. I'm the Wando doubter. Of course, he hit double digits. I'll never live that one down. Dave, you called Antonio Nocerino a, quote, slam dunk this time last year.
Boom. Slam dunk.
Yeah, not sure if that
it'll all be 360 slam dunk pointers.
That was like an Otto Porter slam dunk biff. That's a really deep cut right there. Doyle picked New England to win the Supporters Shield last year. That worked out really well. Any others stand out to you guys that we've made here in the past before we get into our predictions and hopefully do better this time around?
I mean, everything I said about NYCFC last year was wrong.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I got to eat that.
NYC and SKC weren't going to make the playoffs, according to Doyle. So.
Yeah, because they dropped all those early season points.
Can't drop early points. Everyone knows that.
Doyle, myself, and Bear all picked Kendall Watson as Defender of the Year. Bear went El Seno for Newcomer of the Year. And Adam Quarce for Goalkeeper of the Year. I went Tyler Derrick because I'm just a filthy MLS hipster, and I thought that was going to work out for me.
Did I pick Raimondo?
Yeah, you went Raimondo.
Okay.
Dave went to Osted.
Okay.
Could have been worse there. So, look, we don't have the best track record, but like MLS, there's hope every single year. It's a clean slate. We can come back to this and do it all over again. We're going to go through all the official awards. We'll talk team awards. We've also got some MLS ETR specific ones in there, like D-mid of the year, fullback of the year, teenager of the year, things of that nature. I'm going to get us started on rookie of the year. Let's go around here. Who wants to start it off? I'm going to give it to Dave.
Lalas Abubakar in Columbus.
Oh, I think Doyle's going to undercut this right now.
He's fourth on the depth chart.
Wait for the end of the season. How many times, what good rookie in the first 2 months ever wins rookie of the year? Jonathan Campbell was supposed to win it. Harry Ship did win it. But, like, I guarantee you at the end of the season.
Jonathan Campbell was not supposed to win it. It was not supposed to
grab a shovel and help him out in this hole.
11 months ago, and you were saying Jonathan Campbell was the favorite for Rookie of the Year.
I never said that. I said Jordan Morris was always going to be the favorite for Rookie of the Year. But Jonathan Campbell had a very strong season.
Okay. Who are you taking? I'm not with Abubakar as well.
Nick Lima? Yeah, I think that Ian Harkes, rather, is probably the most talented rookie. I think Julian Gressel might actually start for Atlanta if we're reading the tea leaves right, based upon their preseason. And I like Gressel a lot. But I think Nick Lima is a starter at right back from day one. And I think he'll end up playing somewhere around 2,500 minutes. And he's very good. I don't know if he's quite as good as Keegan Rosenberry defensively on an island, but he can do some stuff going into attack, and you know that Dom Kinnear likes his fullbacks to cross the ball.
Look, I think it's a good shout. I just don't think his story and his position is going to get him there.
Yep.
And we saw that with Rosenberry last year. Of course, Jordan Morris was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime rookie in a lot of ways. I think Nowinski up in Vancouver could have a similar opportunity to get a lot of minutes and perhaps play well. It's going to be Harkes, though. It's going to be Harkes. It's going to be Harkes. His story is too good. The son of John. Back at D.C., eschewed overseas interest. He can score. He'll have highlights. D.C. will be good. I think he'll probably play 20 to 25 games for them. I just think that'll be too much to overcome.
It needs to be said, Harkes is a central midfielder from, you know, born in 95. Kellen Acosta, central midfield, born in 95. Christian Roldan, Marky Delgado.
Did you read my notes?
Is that in there?
Yeah, no. This was under the 24 under 24. I was talking about the young American center midfield talent in this league that's 24 and under. Yeah, you mentioned Acosta, Roldan, Davis, and Adams in New York. Harkes, Legette, Marky Delgado, Bofo Saucedo, Jordan Allen, Fatah Alishe, Will Trapp, Derek Jones.
Now somebody's got to go out and get
Now you're just saying names.
Get Emerson Heidman. Bring Emerson
Heidman
back.
Okay,
we're going way off track here.
Okay, give me your rookie. I'm going with
Ian Harkes, obviously. I think he gets that job from Jared Jeffrey. He wins Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think your hand motions there indicate that you're
very
sure.
Well, you guys are, like, talking about, like, all these different
things. Okay, fine, let's go to 24.
We're excited to talk about soccer.
The season starts tonight, Ben, okay? 24 under 24 winner. Who are we going with? It's Albert Elise, duh. No, I'm just kidding.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm going to go Miguel Almiron. I just think on a stacked attack, he's going to be the string puller for them.
Are you allowed to win 24 under 24 if you're a DP?
Yes. You're under 24 when
doesn't matter.
Was it wasn't Castillo a DP what he was?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't know if there was like a salary times age formula that came out.
Yeah, you want to come up with it?
Yeah, I will actually.
It's going to be
and I'm going to get it sponsored.
Because the press as well is going to be huge for them, and we know in voting sometimes that matters. Your profile matters. So that's who I'm going with. We'll start with you, Ben, on the other side.
Just keep on stealing my picks.
This is how I do it.
I'm going with Almiron. I think he's going to be a star in this league.
He's not even the best 24 under 24 guy on that
roster. We'll see.
I mean, in terms of raw talent, it is our Lord and Savior, Andrew Carlton. But in terms of who's going to win it this year,
he's 16.
It's Villalba from that team. I think he is actually a better player than Almiron. Well, but we shall
he
see.
He couldn't get on the field for Tijuana, so I'm kind of
I understand what you're saying. He was a better player. To me, he was a better attacking player in Argentina 2 years ago than Almiron was. But my pick for 24 under 24, it's boring, but Kyle Aaron. I think that he avoided the sophomore slump. They're going to, I think, a formation that is maybe a little more conducive to him getting more space and getting better looks. I think this is a guy who could score 20-plus goals this year. And we saw last year he's a better setup man, much better in year two than he was in year one.
Hot take, Carlos Rivas outscores Kyle Larry.
Oh, I like that.
Dave's going back to the well, man. Last year that was his
job. Somebody please mark that down. Can we come back in December and just kill Goss for that?
Well, it doesn't even matter.
After Carlos Rivas scores three goals.
I'm just going emotional pick on everyone, Albert Elise. I just think everyone's naming guys, but if he's the best player on his team and they actually take a jump similar to what we think, which doesn't even mean they're a playoff team. It just means they're around that conversation because of what he brings, then he has to be talked about at that level. Similar how Kyle Larin, he was the best player on his team last year, and that puts you on an echelon that's different than other guys who are, like, if Morris is good, but Lodero and Dempsey are the ones leading the team.
Yeah, no doubt. And Elise is going to be starving because he did not get time in Mexico either. This is his launch point for his career right now. It hasn't taken off the club level like he wanted to. This is an opportunity. You know Wilmer Cabrera will give him some
And I just want to go back to Carlos Rivas. 3 goals, 4 assists last year in just 799 minutes. I think this is a guy who very much is in the running for breakout player of the year if he ends up as a star.
Whoa, that's a different category.
Yeah, we'll get there. Also, for some reason, he's listed as a midfielder in MLS Fantasy, so you bargain hunters out there.
Snatch him up. Also, join our Fantasy League, 12-308, and I guess go join the Octagon as well. You can do that. I joined it, so I felt kind of guilty about that. But 12-308, remember, the first week of MLS Fantasy is that opening weekend challenge. A bunch of cool prizes at stake, basically trips to marquee events this year, MLS Cup, All-Star Game. Those are the places that you want to be.
You
Maybe
guys
you can
come
hang out
record
with us.
ETR with us.
Yeah, come hang out with us.
Whoa, are we throwing an extra prize in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a prize? We count that as a prize?
That's an
or
assignment.
Is that like, yeah, it's like a duty.
It's
like,
an assignment.
You know, a chore, so to speak. Teenager of the Year, because 24 out of 24 goes up pretty high, and we have complaints every year that it's not young enough. So these are guys born on or after November 1st. 1997.
No, we changed it. Born on or after March 3rd, 1997, because guys who start the year as teenagers should be allowed,
right? This is what we'll call the Ben Bear rule.
Because
he had a pick that didn't apply to this other
because
one.
Because my pick for this is Eric Palmer Brown. I think he gets that starting center back job, you know, I'm going to say in May.
Mm-hmm.
After Aiko Parra, we know his injury history, and that could happen again. Hopefully not. Hopefully he has a great season. But I can see EPB's talent shining through and him grabbing that starting job and him leading, helping to get SKC to the playoffs again.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad pick at all. I think that EPB is very, very good.
He is.
And he's showed it with the USU-20s this past week.
And we didn't get to really see it last year. It's not like we had the opportunities to watch these USL
games.
Porto
got to see it.
Yeah, Porto's B team did. He was very good for them. He won a championship. Who are you going with, Doyle?
Alfonso Davies, the wunderkind from Vancouver. He had this chop and turn and through ball against New York in the first leg of the CCL quarterfinals that, like, I mean, I heard angels sing. I hope this kid ends up playing for Canada. I know they've had some really bad luck over the years with dual nationals picking elsewhere, but he is just an absolutely special talent.
Yeah, a lot of competition up there, but it seems like he is at least in a position to have a lot of minutes. Good call, Dave.
Well, I don't want to say the same as other people, so I'm going to say a new one. No, I'm going to say Jonathan Lewis at NYCFC. I don't know how much playing time he could get, but I think he's got the potential to have a really good year for them, still just 19 years old, even though he's coming out of college. And my, like, dark horse one is Pierre Da Silva down in Orlando because he can ball. He played really good minutes in USL last year. I don't know what the minutes are going to look like on that team, but I think he'll be effective when he does.
He'll play as a true 10 underneath two forwards, right?
Yeah. I mean,
he's one of Kaká's backups.
Right. Yeah. At the same time, I think he could play on the wing. I know it's going to look like a diamond, which isn't exactly how he fits, but in USL last year, he played on the wings, and he floats in and out, and he can beat anyone one-on-one, so he's fun to watch.
If you want that USL insight, the Gas Man is your dude on that. I'm going to say... Look, Justin Glad for me would have been a shoe-in slam dunk for this, but he barely aged out, so no dice there. I'm going to go Tyler Adams because I think he will split time with Sean Davis. Sean Davis probably gets like two-thirds of these starts, also because Adams will be at the U20 World Cup. But I think Adams, like EPB, will shine there, and then he'll get 10, 15 maybe starts and then like 20 appearances. I don't know.
I was just – the U.S. didn't qualify for the U20 World Cup.
Not yet.
Okay. I just want to put that down when he jinxes
Well, we'll see tonight. But I'm putting it at 99%.
That's not good.
The death kiss.
That is a terrible sign for this U20
kiss of
team.
Death.
So I think Tyler Adams will come in and really show people – why Red Bulls made that trade with Dax McCarty. So let's go to Old Man River of the Year, 35+. I'm going to eliminate goalkeepers. I mean, you know, the Tim Howards, Nick Romandos of the world. We know they can keep doing their thing. I'm going to say Andrea Pirlo, and it's not because I think he's going to be the best player. It's just because, you know, he's Andrea Pirlo, and he's casual,
really good,
and he's classy, and he's 37 years old, and he's still out here competing with these kids and doing cool stuff. So I'm about that.
I'm going to go David Villa, who I believe I also picked for Golden Boot last year.
I think I did as well. So
did you?
I picked him as Old Player of the Year. I know I picked Kai Kamara for Golden Boot, but I picked him for Old Player
you
of the
picked,
Year.
Like, you did terribly.
I said he'd get 20-plus goals.
Don't try and get on my ship right
okay,
now when you
all
right, picked
all right, all right,
Kai Kamara.
I'm going overboard. I'm walking the plank.
You're picking Harry's ship for MVP
plank.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say David Villa because... Because
you're taking chances? That limb is super strong?
Yeah. He's, like, the best. He's like, one of the top 10 players in the league.
He's, like, the defending MVP or something.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I have to go with Gasman here. I want to pick someone different, but like
that branch is huge.
Yeah,
you could pick Marcelo Sarvas.
It's not going to be Marcelo.
There's only 12
Sarvas.
Options here.
Yeah,
there's not that many options.
I'm picking Villa, but like, can we give a shout to Patrice Bernier? Like old man strength personified.
Yes.
I think he's going to have because he's not going to play more than like 1500 minutes, but he's going to have some moments out there where he is just awesome. And again, I need to say this every time I mention his name. I cannot believe Canada was not able to build a functional midfield around him and Atiba and Julian de Guzman for, you know, for 15 years.
Let me ask you a question. Of all the non-Canadians in the world, do you think you stay up the most nights thinking about that and
I
just
would
being
imagine
haunted?
So. I am a little haunted by that.
How about including Canadians?
Yeah.
No, Rudy Schuler and Daniel Squizzato do not sleep because
right.
they're thinking of
okay.
this.
Okay.
All right, who are you going? Who's your old man River?
He's only 12. I'm going to go with Villa, obviously. But, like, I would say I'm going to give a shout-out to Javi Mo. He could
man.
Do some things in Dallas.
That's a good one.
But, I mean, Villa's obvious.
Javi Mo.
Nobody's going to mention.
So in the Champions League game versus Arabe Unido, like, 10th minute,
yeah.
he did that scoop pass that Diaz is so good at, and you're like, this could work for a year. Like, I could see this working for 4 months, 5 months. It was funny to watch.
Nobody's mentioned Jermaine Jones?
Yeah. I mean, big dice roll there. Big
we'll
dice roll.
We'll see how many games he actually plays.
Like, he's very, very happy in L.A. if his Snapchat is any indication.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that translates to the on-the-field stuff. The newcomer of the year, it's not going to be El Seno. It wasn't El Seno. Who
Why
will
are you
it be?
Hating on El Seno?
I'm not hating
Dude
on him.
Dude is
he just
ledge. Do you see
what
him
is the basis
ball?
Of newcomer of the year?
Name is not actually El Seno anymore.
Sorry? What's
it's a new player that
new
comes
player
into the league.
Okay.
A player new to the
An
league.
An acquisition of the year?
Those can be different things because the acquisition of the year could like shore up your back line and it may not
like
be
in the league.
Well,
right.
Yeah, it could also
no, it
be
doesn't
in
have
the
to be
league.
In the league. It can be anywhere. We'll figure this out. Newcomer
these
of the year
These are
first.
Things that Doyle makes up that he makes us pick. So,
yeah, so newcomer of the year. Get us started. Get us started here, Ben.
Well, on Tuesday's show, I told you I was jacked up about the Fire. So I'm going to go with Nikolic. I think he could score 15-plus goals this season for a team that could be a lot better.
And he's bringing back the short shorts.
Yeah,
he's got those like late 80s, early 90s styles. Like, got to let those thighs bleed.
Gotta show
breathe
thighs.
A little
Who's
bit.
Your newcomer?
Elmiron. I think, you know, I've been kind of a wet blanket about him, I guess. But, like, he's still really good. He's going to have the ball on his foot in Atlanta.
Timeout. Wait. You were just killing me for picking Almiron for the 24-24 because Villalba is going to be the better. Villalba is also a newcomer, so why are you not picking him?
You know, I have my reasons. They're different. They're different metrics.
Doyle's got you on your heels right now.
Look, you wouldn't understand the numbers, okay? Like, Ben, you clearly haven't done your research here. Okay.
Also, how are you not picking a Minnesota guy? You said they'd be better than Atlanta.
Because the Minnesota guys, who I think are going to be really good, are Molino and Venegas and I think Colin Warner is going to be
You
really
were going to put Colin Warner over Demidov, Calvo,
okay,
Ramirez.
I'm cutting this
Calvo
off.
Calvo has a real
Ibarra. Shot.
All right, we're going to get to this stuff later. Who's your newcomer?
Sebastian Blanco, and that will go into my insanity of how I feel about this season. We will get to
okay,
that.
Okay, he's also my newcomer. I think he's going to tear it up this year. It's going to be a fun season. In Portland, the acquisition.
Wait, did you do any of your own picks, or do you just wait for us
timing.
To say
it's
stuff?
The timing. No, it's the other way around. Bear was stealing my picks. Don't worry about it. Acquisition of the year. This is our own little category here. I'll start us out.
Can
so
we
I
say
can't
that
be accused
this
of stealing any picks?
So this is also anyone?
Yeah.
This is like
who was
Patrick Mullins
league.
Could have been, acquisition of the year.
Could have been a trade. It's somebody, a team picking up somebody. I'm saying Jonathan Mensah. That team, the Crew SC, were desperate for a center back to come in and lock this thing down and be physical and win balls and be the leader back there. I think he's going to be the guy because I think they're going to have a big improvement this year.
I'm going to say Juninho. I think he's one of the best center midfielders in the league for a team that struggled there. Obviously, it's going to be hard to tell because Dak's also coming in.
He's an acquisition, too.
Right, but I'm saying it's going to be tough to tell which. I think maybe if they both play as many minutes as they're capable of, but I still think Juninho's going to be a stud.
I'm just going to stay in Chicago, Dax McCarty. I think that he's going to be the guy who gives the team its personality more than anything, and he's a winner. Not that Juninho isn't, but I think Dax is going to have a very, very, very good year.
Huge chip on his shoulder.
I think me and Juninho would beat you and Dax in a 2v2 game.
I do not doubt that because I'm a pylon.
All right. The Oracle, what do you think?
I'm going with Blanco. I think he's going to kill it.
How much killing?
A lot of killing.
Like 15 goals?
No. I think it's more like he's going to have like 8 goals, like 12 assists, be top 5 in chances created. I think that's the season we're looking at for him.
And who'd you have for newcomer?
I can't even remember. Nikolic. Yeah,
okay.
Nikolic.
I was just asking.
Yeah, just stick with us here, Dick.
It could, could take Portland from.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Comeback player of the year, which we maybe should name this thing after Charlie Davies. Clint Dempsey, I think, is the kind of the obvious one. I don't know who's going elsewhere with this. But
The other name that came to mind, if he plays and plays well, I think is Josh Gott with all those ACL surgeries.
Yeah,
if he's like a legitimate player for that team. But
is he eligible for comeback player of the year?
Yeah, because he wasn't in MLS.
Why wouldn't he?
Right.
I don't know. He sat out for 3 years with ACL surgery.
I mean, I think Oguchi Onyewu probably then would also be in the running for that if that's the way we're defining it. I mean,
this has
always been a slippery one to nail down.
I have my own qualms about comeback player of the year over the past the players that have received
this
it.
This is not the right forum right now. We have other predictions to make.
Dempsey's my pick. Done.
I mean, it's got to be Dempsey, right? Everybody there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be Dempsey. We'll hit breakthrough player of the year here, which we also made up, and then we'll go to break and we'll come back with all the big ones. Defender, goalkeeper, fullback, MVP, golden boot. It's just right.
Break for breakthrough.
Yes. Can we count like a Kubo Torres here for a breakthrough?
Yes.
Even though he had like 15 goals at one point.
No.
But he's basically been dragging through the dirt for a while. What about Kakuta Mane? Because he got hurt last year.
Wait,
Miguel Ibarra?
I think Kakuta Mane is more comeback.
Right.
But I think Kubo, definitely.
Kubo had 15 goals 2 years ago.
2 years
ago? Yeah, and then he got dropped from, like, everything he got
How
near.
Could he? But he already broke
he
through.
He already broke through. It would be comeback for Kubo.
Okay, fine. How about a guy like Sebastian Lletget? Does he count for something like that?
Yeah, if he gets to another level.
Yep.
Okay, all right. So I think Jordan Allen could be a guy here. Tommy Thompson's hype train is going to start making stops.
Woo!
And then in, like, crazy MLS world, Breck Shea and Carlos Rivas are right there. Although Carlos Rivas maybe not as crazy. I've been more convinced by Doyle. I'm going to go Justin Glad. I mentioned him back up there in the 2400, or excuse me, the teenager. Mm-hmm. Isn't this is the year he steps out and we're like, oh crap, this guy's like the next great MLS center back.
I don't think Justin Glad's a teenager.
I know, he's 20.
Okay.
Yeah, we figured that out. but I think this is the year that we start seeing him become a quote unquote commodity on the international market, because he's going to go to that U20 World Cup, knock on wood, if when they qualify. We're taping this on Thursday, and then it'll be on from there.
Yeah, I think it's a good call.
Guys, who else you got?
You can't just like throw like 10 names.
I just did it.
I took one of my names.
You only get one name.
Jordan Allen is my pick. I think he's finally has a starting role. I'm not exactly sure if he's a right winger, but I think he's good enough that he'll make it work. And I think he can score 10 goals this year.
I would be more confident about that pick if they were playing like a 4-3-1-2 with Allen inverted on the right side of that as like a midfield playmaker rather than a stretch the defense winger. But I agree, he's gonna be really good.
Welcome to the nerd round.
Right, Juan Agudelo was my breakthrough player of the year.
He's been sold for millions of dollars.
I don't think that counts.
No, I 100% it counts. If Juan Agudelo is your go-to starter for a good team and he leads that team in goals or leads that team in assists or both,
or
he's
just
a
their best player. Fine,
yeah,
I'll give you that.
He's never scored double-digit goals.
Yeah, he's been
potential. I think he's gonna have something ridiculous like 14 goals, 11 assists season.
Okay, I'll buy that then, Dave.
You don't look too confident right now. My pick. Although,
what, you just stealing from everybody?
Here's my dark horse line. Will Bruin.
How is he a breakthrough?
Will Bruin 300?
Yeah, he's got like doesn't he have like 60 MLS goals in his
career? In like 100 years though.
I mean,
he's 27.
Is he the Perry Ellis of MLS?
Yeah, that's exactly who he is. Professor Perry.
Nobody cares about Kansas basketball.
I will say this for the Will Bruin pick. He's still really, really good at getting behind a defense and getting out in those breakaways. And when you have guys like Ladero and Dempsey and Harry Shipp.
Jordan Morris.
Jordan Morris isn't going to hit through balls to him, but like he's got three guys who could put him through. The problem with Will Bruin and the reason he never became the type of guy who can get 15 goals year after year after year, he's just terrible at finishing those breakaways.
What if he broke through this year?
There you go, brother. There you go. I like it.
What if we went to break right now and returned on the other side with MVP, Golden Boot, and the like? We'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com. or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Time Radio, hanging out in the Blue Room. We're doing predictions because the first game of the season is tonight. Portland hosting Minnesota United in their first ever MLS game, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. It is the first game of, I believe, 374. That is a record for MLS. So if you like MLS, you're going to get a bumper crop of it. Check out MLS Live, $79.99 for the full season. It's like 20 cents a game. Really is a must-have in your MLS fandom toolbox. If you would like to sit around the Nerd Roundtable, it's almost a requirement.
I just had an idea that we should take pictures of us recording in all of these different rooms that you always announce with nicknames make a calendar.
A calendar?
What are we going to do with that calendar?
It'll be like a pinup calendar of us sitting with headsets on, just talking about soccer.
I don't know if you thought through that pinup calendar part.
I think this just took a really dark turn.
Yeah.
Dark? Right. Ooh, yeah. Well, we can raise money for charity.
Okay, maybe dark is the better bet there if we're trying to raise money with this calendar. Like, as obscured as it can possibly be, let's jump into the rest of these predictions here. We hit Rookie of the Year through Breakout Player in the first segment. We're starting with Goalkeeper of the Year. How many people are going to say Bill Hamid?
Me.
Okay, we got 3 out of 4?
3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to say Bill Hamid.
You're going to say Andre Blake.
Because as much as I want to believe that he'll stay healthy for the full season, I can't believe that just yet. So
this is the year, Andrew.
I know, I want to believe. I really do want to believe. I'm going to say Tim Howard. I know he's kind of banged up right now, but once he gets back, he's Tim Howard. His profile. What are you laughing about?
Well, you said Bill.
But he's still
going to be injured. And then you pick an injured
player. He's still going to play like 30 games, Ben. Don't worry about it. But he also has the profile, and that matters in these votings. If it's not
him,
it's David Bingham.
No, you know what's going to happen? So, and no. I looked at this on all of mine. Okay. There are going to be multiple spots that Seattle Sounders players are going to be in the conversation because of winning last year and being good this year. Stephen Fry is going to be in the conversation because of the way that the final went and because that team's going to be really good.
Another
again.
Player who's injured. Could miss the opener this week.
Missing the opener does not mean
I'm just saying.
Goalkeeper of the year.
And by the way, they are really high in Tyler Miller.
In Seattle?
A lot.
One to watch there.
Well, they only drafted 9 goalkeepers in the same draft.
Let's talk defender of the year. I am going to start us out, I guess. Jelle Vendem. I think he just got the C for the Galaxy. He's got the DP. He won't be a DP in the summer, I expect. He's really, really good. And he's going to take on a high-profile role with them. He was right in the running last year. He's also got the best individual MLS award campaigner on his side in Mr. Brendan Hannon. We saw what he was able to do with Austin Berry. Who you say? Yes, go look that up. I think it's going to be over.
Shots at Austin Berry.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not
right?
Shots. It's just like he did a really good job selling him.
We'd be totally tuned out the Korean second division.
I did, yeah.
Austin Berry was awesome for FC Cincinnati last year, too.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
he was hurt a lot.
Well, when he played.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. Who else is coming in here? Who's got a defender?
Roman Torres, back to what I was saying. But
damn it.
The difference he made in the playoffs last year or the run last year, if he can be fully healthy, it is unfortunate because Chad Marshall could probably be in the conversation as well because of the partnership
he'll
create.
He's got his defender of the year awards.
So I'm going to say Roman Torres.
Yeah, I'm going to say Roman Torres as well. I think Seattle.
Now we know we're both going to be wrong.
Yeah, right? Sorry, Roman.
Yeah, it's luck of the draw on this thing. You give your pick and you just hope nobody else has it so you don't look like a copycat.
I was going back and forth on this one. I had
Thanks
Steve Byrne. I mean, I thought you guys should know my internal struggle. Yeah. I had Steve Birnbaum in here, but then I realized I had like DC like winning all the awards, and I can't like have that. So I'm going with Walker Zimmerman. I think he could be the guy who breaks it with the national team, and that's going to get him a lot of pub potentially at the Gold Cup.
Over
I think
hedges.
Also could get a bunch of goals too.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think he. I mean, he was really good last year. I think he's a flashier player than Hedges, maybe not as good, but flashier and could get the national team stuff. So.
Okay. Defender of the Year is wrapped up. We don't talk about fullbacks enough. They don't make it into the best 11. They don't make it into the Defender of the Year conversation very often. There are some very good ones, though, in this league. Sometimes we've talked on the show about weak points. Like, some teams still have big weak points there, but there is some strength now.
Hernan Grana. I am obsessed with his addition to FC Dallas. There was a point in the Champions League game where he basically was playing central midfield.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, because they just split the center back so wide. He gets as high. He can float wherever he wants to because Barrios, I think, is more going to stick to the wing if he plays that side than Lama is. But, yeah, I'm excited about this
one. Yeah, he's mine as well. I think Chris.
Wait, not Graham Zuzi?
No. I think Graham. I think. Well, we won't belabor that point. I think Chris.
After
Ifans
that
would
debate
be,
where he convinced us, by the way, he's now like, Zuzi's not going to play.
Look, you pay a guy $700,000, he has to play. But I just think Chris Ifans could be really, really bitter about that Grana signing, but they have Harrison Offal.
Yeah.
So,
who is my pick?
Right. There we go.
I think Crew SC are going to bounce back in a big way this year. I think their central midfield and central defense will be better defensively, and that'll allow both fullbacks to just bomb up the sidelines. And they're going to score a million goals and get a bunch of assists, and Harrison Offal is going to be the man.
Yep, he's very, very good. I'm with you on that one. Where are you
I
going
had
with
Grana.
This? I had Grana too. So
I'll throw out two more names, just like Weeby style.
Okay.
I'll throw out.
I have like 7 written down under this. On
considering
my notes.
Seattle, we talked about how we think Seattle's gonna be good this year. I think Jovan Jones could be up there, and my boy Alvis Powell, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this: do we consider Banisher and Moro eligible for this, even though they're wingbacks not fullbacks?
I had Moro in mine as well. I had the Simon Borg All Star Ambrose Iyongo. I also had Vitas in here, although he didn't get a ton of assists or anything last year.
He's going to this year.
Yeah, I mean.
With Nagby playing left wing, Vitas is going to have freedom to overlap all day long.
My guys, Kamar Lawrence and Waylon Francis getting zero love right now.
Waylon Francis might not be starting.
Yeah, Waylon Francis should be. He's one of the most underrated players in Major League Soccer.
You haven't seen Raiola play yet, so.
That's true.
Rosenberry, I'll throw out there. Matarita, DeMarcus Beasley. He'll never not be good, apparently. So.
You just want this topic because you did something with Matarita last year and you wanted to bring it up. And I don't
even know what that – what are you even talking
about? You called something
newcomer of the year.
Yeah, newcomer of the year. That was what it was. D-mid of the year. This also doesn't get enough love. I got a lot of really good D-mids in this league. We mentioned the American ones. They're not the only ones. There's a ton of of really good talent in this position. Where are you going, Doyle?
Michael Bradley. He was the best. He was the best player on the pitch in MLS Cup. He is finally in a stable system from year to year that I think highlights his strengths of as a player, and his ability to pick a long pass is just about unmatched. I think it's him. I'm gonna throw a tip of the hat to Guzman, the newcomer in Portland. I think he's gonna be really, really good for them. But Bradley is, I think, a cut above.
See, I was gonna go Chara. Mm-hmm. But he's not playing D-mid anymore.
No, he's box to box
now.
So
that kind of threw me off. So I don't know who's going to play D-mid in Chicago.
Man, yeah, that was my issue.
I really like getting inside Bear's brain here. He's taking us through the full. First, I had a sandwich, and then I.
At least I make my picks in a timely fashion.
Okay.
Guys, Ben's here on his day off. I'd appreciate it if you'd give him a little more space.
You know what? Hashtag dedication.
Yeah, he's definitely dedication.
I'm going to go with Juninho. You know, he was the best D-mid in the league in 2015. And I think he can be that the same 2 years later.
There I was going to say the same thing.
Juninho. Well, I said Michael Bradley, so we're all kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzie Alonso's up there. I don't know that he'll play the same minutes as he has in the past because I think they'll save him.
Grizzo, I think, has a shout with this Dallas team. Cronin, you can't. You
Cronin
can't
was
leave
so
Cronin
good
last
year.
Year.
I mean, Matias Laba is.
Cronin
the
was
rock
the
for
best last year.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, his highs aren't as high as like Ozzie or Bradley, but he was more consistent from week one.
I'm gonna throw one name out here, the under the radar dark horse, Ily Sanchez in Sporting Kansas City.
Do we think he's gonna start?
I think he will take that position and make it his over the course of the year, and I think he will have a similar effect to Uri Rossell in that system demands that you be a good distributor out there, but more than anything, you be a good anticipator. Yeah. And I think he will be that guy, and he's not going to lose the ball.
Two more names to throw out there. Ja Pedro in L.A. and Kouassi.
I was about to say Kouassi. Yeah. From what I've heard from people with the Revs, they are pretty stoked about this guy.
We have a good crop of D-mids. We know that. That's our picks. Golden Boot here. I picked Ola Kamara in the column
I
wrote.
Tip of the cap to Andrew Wiebe for getting D-mids in before Golden Boot wins.
Right?
Yeah, of course, man.
Let's change the conversation.
Respect. Ola Kamara is my pick. I think he's going to score a ton of goals.
Yes.
I love Ola Kamara, but I knew you were going to say that, so I went different.
Well,
so
I wrote a column that said that.
Right.
So.
I went with Josie. I think if he's healthy, based on what he did last year, he's going to be the best striker in the league and potentially the best American striker we've ever seen in form.
Health it may be an issue. I hope that it's not. The other issue I see is maybe Gold Cup is just a couple games missed in there, but he could score so many goals that it might not matter.
Also, do we know what Bruce is doing with Gold Cup?
Yeah,
I
don't think Joe's going to be at Gold Cup.
Right. Assume he wants as much time as he can with this squad because of him taking over late. But you also assume that he's not going to stretch all of his best guys.
Not in a World Cup qualifying year, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay in Toronto. I think it's Jovinko. I think he'll score 25 goals.
That's the clear and obvious choice.
Yeah. You know, and they added a creative midfielder behind him. And I think that, you know, Jay Campbell will get a couple more minutes as well, so the service will be better.
Jay Chapman.
Oh my God, what did I just do?
Double shot.
Because you said Jonathan Campbell would win Rookie of the Year last year.
It's all coming full circle here.
But I will say this. If he took penalty kicks, Fernando Adi would win Golden Boot. But it's going to be Valeri taking those PKs.
Yeah, you can't pry them
out. But Adi is definitely going to go over 20 this year.
Yep. What do you got?
Javinko?
Yeah, it's simple. I mean, look, it goes through Javinko. All these individual awards.
Much disrespect for Bradley Wright Phillips.
Can I say dark? No, well, also formationally right now, mm-hmm. he's playing deeper than he has in the past because of Verón. And last year it took, what, 4 games for them to get away from that? So it might happen again. Dark horse, though, Jordan Morris.
Ooh.
That's not that dark.
I don't think people are picking him to win
Golden Boot. I know. If he does, he's
got to lead the team in
the
goals.
Some crazy prediction yesterday, like why your team will win a MLS Cup, where I said Lodero, Dempsey, and Morris will go 50 and 40.
Well,
I know that's insane.
If Lodero
and
Dempsey.
That's completely insane. But that was the point of the column, is insanity. But like, I could see Jordan Morris hitting like 17 and 11.
Yeah.
I could see Lodero
and Dempsey. 17 and 11?
Yeah, man. He's out on the break with Clint Dempsey trailing him behind.
How many guys have done 17?
There aren't a lot of guys who have done 17 and 11, but I don't think that's as crazy as your reaction would suggest, Mr. Bear.
That's right. Oracle that. 0% that for me, Ben Bear. Yeah, actually, you know what? I need that for me right now. I need a 0% on Jordan Morris 17 and 11.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Just do it. Just say it so it'll happen. Okay.
We'll get to that later.
How about the top American goal scorer if we're going this route? I mean, you said Josie's going to win the boot, so that's that. Jordan Morris. Mm-hmm. Anybody else we want to throw in there? I got a sneaky pick.
Dom Dwyer.
Why would I not say that before I looked across the table?
I think Dom Dwyer is going to approach 20 goals this year, and he is, I believe, in
I don't know if it's yet, but it will happen sometime this year, I believe. Yeah.
So Dom Dwyer.
What are you guys doing?
What do you mean, what are
he's
we doing?
He's English.
If he's got...
if he's a minute away from American citizenship.
I think you guys are misusing...
No, we're not.
No.
Okay.
No.
Whatever.
No.
Whatever.
No.
I'm going to throw out... Who was I going to throw out?
Patrick Mullins.
No, I wasn't going to throw out him.
You wanted to, though.
Who was I throwing out?
Are we going to sit around and wait for this? Yeah, we're done.
Wando.
With that.
Wando.
Oh, okay.
Wando. Obviously.
Are we going to sit around and wait for this? Like
Wando is going to be... Well, he's... First of all, I have an article that I wrote yesterday about records, and he's probably going to be number two in the history of MLS in goal scoring at the end of this year. So I just want to throw out Wando.
Okay.
Maybe he has an incredible season.
Is Jeff Cunningham
and
two right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 134. He's at 121. So 14 goals.
I wouldn't put it past Jeff Cunningham to come out of retirement and score a couple goals.
Yeah, well, Landon came out and put it one more.
See?
And now he's 24 behind Landon. Yeah. So 25 goals, breaks the record.
By the power of Tam, Chris Wondolowski will get double-digit goals this season. Let's talk assist king, playmaker. That's one of our own. Who we got here? Sasha hit 20 last year, a.k.a. 19, because I still don't think that last one was an assist.
Oh, stop it. 100%.
I knew it. Who do we think is going to lead the league in assists?
Nico?
Nico, yeah.
Nico Lodero, yeah. Nico. I mean, based on everything I've said already, I think that, but there's no reason to believe he's going to have a tougher time this year than he did last year. There's a little bit more travel for him.
But they're going
to
give him the Giovinco treatment.
But they gave him the Giovinco treatment last year.
That's true.
He kind of did slow down in the playoffs, though.
Once it was negative 20 in Toronto.
I was saying, once they ran FC Dallas off the field.
Yeah, and I mean, playing against some very, very good defensive teams, only good defensive teams in the playoffs.
All in terrible weather.
Yeah. I am with Gasman. I think Nico ends up with like 17, 18 assists. I think he's going to have MVP caliber year.
He's making a run at 20, in my opinion. And the reason being is Dempsey playing, I think, 20 to 25. Jordan Morris developing, but maybe even more than that. And this is how Sasha got a lot of his, too. Set pieces. Mm-hmm. Roman Torres, Chad Marshall, Clint Dempsey. Those guys get on the end of things. Those guys score goals on set pieces. And I think he's got a great chance of that. You going to go somewhere different? Or are you going to stick with Nico?
Okay. Clutchen didn't have 20 assists last year.
Stop it.
Oh, all these truthers here. MVP.
Wait, who else? Can we just say who else? Javinko's in that conversation.
Yeah, I think
Sasha's in it again.
Yeah, I think Benny is there.
Yeah, especially if one of the guys that Sporting signed ends up being a guy who can score some goals. I think Benny's absolutely in there. I mean, he had 13 assists, but like it was like 11 in 12 games down the stretch.
I also think he'll pick up a bunch of second assists if those guys are good, because he'll be the one that brings the ball into the Garza Fernandez, Latif Blessings, maybe Grim Zuzu.
And another one with set pieces as well, because especially if Opara plays.
Yeah, right, and you got Gio in there, Gio Dos Santos, and Piatti. Piatti Mancosu had a pretty good thing going at the end of the season.
I just don't know if he'll get enough. I don't know if he'll get enough.
I think Portland's also one where there's a bunch of guys that are going to share it.
Yeah.
You look at Valeri, and you look at Nagby, and you look at Blanco.
What about MVP? Good. This one should be easy, I think. I mean, it's Sebastian lots of Sebastians. Sebastian Giovinco's until further notice. I mean, this is his award to win or lose, in my opinion.
I'm going to say Nico Lodero leads the league in assists, gets over 12 goals, over 11, 12 goals, and Seattle once again is a good team.
I hate to pick the same thing as Gas, but here I am, riding the Nico Lodero train.
Do you think that I should get some sort of chair?
Like a rocking chair?
I'm saying the same things Doyle's saying
why
beforehand.
Why don't you start with an ottoman?
Yeah, I'll sit on the edge of this.
I'll say this. 2017, you're off the floor.
Right.
Okay, 2016, you had to sit on the floor.
Like Michael Scott in The Office. It's actually much more comfortable than it looks.
Yeah.
I just curl up.
MVP for you, Ben?
Giovinco? Yeah.
No doubt?
No doubt.
Okay.
So got robbed last year.
I'm Giovinco as well.
So we're split. Nico, Lodero, Giovinco.
Hashtag Team Giovinco. Hashtag Team Lodero. Tweet at us.
I think it's Team Nico, Team Gio. Well, he doesn't like Gio.
No, it's Seba.
Team Seba. Okay, you're right. Yeah, okay. Those are our teams.
Does Lodero have a nickname?
Nico.
Poseidon?
No. Well, not like an atomic ant.
Weren't they calling him like Poseidon or something last year?
I don't know. Sounders fans are
I don't know. Well, you know what we do? You know who needs a new nickname? Jordan Morris. J-Mo Smooth has to die.
Yeah, I think
it
so.
Has to die. So if you have a better nickname for the kid.
Vanilla Smooth.
Oh, I don't hate that, actually. Hit us up with that at extremeradio.com.
I need to throw one more name into the MVP race, Giovanni Dos Santos. I think, especially if Zardes gets healthy soon, we can call him Gio, right?
Yeah. He's Gio. Dervinko
quietly went 14-12 last
year. He's a guy who will do 15-15.
If Zardes was healthy today, this whole conversation, I think, would be different.
I agree.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate.
And it's kind of misty as to what actually is going on with him and when he'll be back.
So. Yeah, let's go to Coach of the Year. I think it's Greg Vanney. I think they're going to win the Supporters Shield. You know, the 3-5-2 will get a lot of pub, and people like that sort of like tactical back end thing where they say, "Oh, you're trying something new. That's cool." So I think it's Greg Vanney.
Yeah, he also that he's going to have to shift because I don't think he can play it the full year just because you need three center backs. So,
but they have so many center backs now with Mavinga.
Yeah, but I don't.
You got Air Haglund and Zabaleta to fill
in. I don't know how they feel about.
They got Josh Williams in. They signed.
No, they don't. Josh Williams is on Columbus.
Yeah,
they have. Oh, they have five center backs.
They have five, but I don't know
Brandon
that.
Aubrey.
I don't know that Aubrey can play in the three-man backline, which means if you get an injury or two, you're shifting to four-man,
the key.
Which
you're
okay
right.
with.
Drew Moore's the key because I don't know which of those other guys can play that central spot and be kind of the organizer and communicator.
And
Mavinga is so crucial, and he led them in minutes last year.
And Mavinga can play left back or fullback, so like if they have to shift around. I'm going to say Pareja. I think they make a run in CCL, so I think he gets pub for that. Obviously, they're a great team. I don't think they're going to win Supporters Shield because I don't think they're going to try, but that's not going to go against them because he won it last year.
What do you got?
I got Vanney for all the reasons that you guys said. I think Dark Horse, it's weird to call him a Dark Horse candidate, but like Jesse Marsh, if things go well for the Red Bulls, and by the way, the Red Bulls can go out and win the Supporters Shield again this year and can maybe even break their MLS Cup curse. Jesse Marsh will get a lot of dap. But for now, my pick is Greg Vanney.
Oracle?
We'll go with Greg Berhalter. I see a bounce-back season for Columbus. You can check out some interesting stats on MLSsoccer.com about why that is.
Shameless
plugs.
You'll
have to find it, though. You know, just troll around there.
Do your research. You'll find the bear.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think
that was awful.
Even be high up there in the East.
Harrison, awful.
I'm talking over here.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Berhalter. No, whatever. I'm done.
Berhalter. Okay. We'll talk more about Berhalter in just a second, I think. Front office of the year. This is us making one up as well. So it's on and off field stuff. You get a little bit of both. So it's not just the personnel. But that probably takes the cake over the top of it. I think the dark horse here is the Chicago Fire. Somebody's.
Why are you starting with Dark Horse?
Make your pick.
Okay, my pick is Atlanta United.
Okay, fine.
They're gonna get a ton of pub. Yeah. If these signings come off, they will have completely changed the way people think about transfers
like,
in MLS.
Out of curiosity, right now, if I say Atlanta United had a good season, where are they in the standings at the end of the regular season?
Fourth
in the East.
Oh no! Any playoff spot is a good season. Yeah. I think last day of the season. You finish seventh, and it just barely misses out for you, but it's encouraging. You have big results. You have big crowds. That's a good season.
Even if it's eighth and, like, really respectable and they make a good late run like Orlando City did a couple
I was
going to
say, if they have that exact season.
I think that's an excellent season. That's an excellent season for an expansion team.
Excellent.
I agree about expansion team. The question is how much pressure's on them because of the way they've built up.
A lot.
Yeah, so. No. And not that they spent, and because there will be a ton of people there to watch them.
Right.
They don't. Those people are, you know, are just coming to see. It's their first impression. There's nothing else to base this on.
They're
going to
see a lot of goals going both directions.
I agree with that. I think that they're going to be an exciting team to watch. Maybe a must watch. A lot of 5-3s happening there. Hopefully, please. Ben, front office of the year.
You'll
probably say Chicago Fire.
I'll probably go with Columbus, hanging back up my coach of the year pick. But I was going to go Chicago potentially. But you know, just throwing out dark horse.
So which one did you go with?
I'll go with Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah. What is it that you think?
I think they shored up their back line really well, and I think that's going to lead this charge back up to the top. I think the Zach Steffen move, while they made it last year, could prove to be one of the moves of the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, they made it last year, but it's really a move for this season.
Here's the thing to remember this one as well. It's not decided right now. the summer is going to decide a lot of this. Just like last year, the Seattle Sounders, arguably, you'd say,
we have to revisit this show.
Yeah,
in,
we
like
do.
In July.
Like acquisition of the year, I said Jonathan Mensah. The more I think about it, like, let's get real. It's not acquisition of the year. We don't know it yet.
Yeah.
It happens in the summer, and I think it'll be L.A., Red Bulls, Seattle, or Orlando. If Orlando can shed all that cap that's just kind of like holding on to them for dear life right now, I think they'll have a chance to fill one of those slots.
For me, front office of the year, D.C. United. They finally got shovels in the dirt to open that, you know, to build that stadium. I think they had a remarkable offseason in terms of hanging on to guys like Birnbaum and Acosta. We all remember what happened Perry Kitchen 2 years ago. They couldn't even hold on to, I thought at the time, their best young player. They got depth on the flanks. They signed Ian Harkes when there was interest from Derby County and a number of other European teams. They re-signed Patrick Mullins. They've got Bill Hamid locked in for, you know, another 4 years, who is, I think, the best goalkeeper in the league.
Birnbaum as well. They locked in Birnbaum.
Yeah, you said that.
You should listen.
I should
more.
Listen to
you. You're back. You're off the ottoman. You're back on the floor. I think that DC deserves a ton of credit, and I think they'll end up being the offseason or the front office of the year for it.
Because teams always win front office of the year for hanging on to their own players and adding depth on the flanks.
That's fair. It's a lower bar.
Okay, good stuff. Look, we've got coming up. I thought you already gave yours.
Well, what did I say?
I wasn't listening. tell me again.
Back on the ottoman. Maybe you're on the floor.
I'm going to make a basic one. I'm going to say Toronto FC. Yeah. The fact that they found cap space to even make additions this offseason is pretty incredible. And if they pan out, if they upgraded those two spots, the one thing I would like to see is for some of these young players that we keep talking about to get opportunities. So I'd like to see them find a way to work that in where they win Supporters Shield. They're as good as they can be, but also Osorio, Hamilton, and Chapman get better this year.
Yep, would be good to see. We're going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to go teams, the biggest point differential, U.S. Open Cup winner, Canadian Championship, the Shield, and MLS Cup, of course, and then some off-the-cuff categories. Stick with us.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Time Radio, the prediction show. It rolls along. We hope you're enjoying it. We hope you enjoy this weekend's action. Starting on Friday night, Portland, Minnesota, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Saturday, Univision game, 4 p.m. Eastern on LA and Dallas Clash. Then Sunday, three games, Orlando NYCFC at 5 on ESPN. Atlanta, New York, 7:30, FS1. And then on MLS Live, Vancouver and Philly. Finishing out the weekend, remember, MLS Live, $79.99. You'll get a ton of value for that. I know I lean on it all season long. On with the predictions, and we're going to biggest point differential. Crew SC for me, this is the no doubter.
Damn it.
No doubter. I think we're all going to be on this train.
No.
36 points last year. Okay, David will not be on this train.
I had two others.
I think they'll approach 55, 56. So you're looking at about a
57.
Yeah, you're looking at about a 20-point difference. Mind meld.
57
mind
points?
Mind meld across the nerd round table here. Dave, who do you have?
Houston or Chicago.
Well, way to hedge your bets there.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
They were the two last teams last year, so that helped. But I think they'll
be there. My actual pick is Columbus, but, you know, it's really Atlanta, Minnesota. They're going from zero.
Oh, get out of here.
30 plus.
That was a Simon
technically,
Board
Minnesota
answer.
Was an ASL last year, so.
Mm-hmm. Does that count for MLS?
It counts for points earned.
Okay. Yeah. Think that.
Where here from?
Colorado Rapids. I think they're dropping down to.
Oh man, that way take that in a negative angle.
Down to about 42 points or so.
I was like, "What's he talking about? They're gonna make. They're gonna have 75.
They're
gonna
win the double Supporter Shield.
Yeah,
That's below the red line you would expect. Yeah. 46 points generally around the red line at this stage in MLS. So that would be under. Let's talk Canadian Championship. There's not a huge group to choose from here. I think Toronto FC wins it. They got depth. They got the young players to come in. They've got ambition because they want to be in CCL. I think they take this one.
Are you looking at me?
Yeah, I'm staring straight into your eyes.
I don't know that I like the midfield for Ottawa Fury, so I'm going to go with TFC as well.
Okay, good call.
I actually do like that Ottawa Fury midfield. And the Edmonton, the Eddies, they signed Adam Strait the other day, which is a good pickup for them. But, yeah, it's probably going to be TFC.
What do you got?
Guys, we all know how serious Montreal takes takes CCL. So they're going to want to win the Canadian Championship because they lost last year. So I'm going with the Impact.
Okay, Impact it is.
So wait a minute. If you think there's a MLS regular season game on a Sunday and
Answer to your question is yes.
They're going to go with their best 11 in the Canadian Championship game.
They're not even going to need to because they're going to be so jacked up. I wanted to win the Canadian Championship.
They're going
to
be running on adrenaline. They're just
Tabla is going to be running around scoring 3 goals a game.
That part I believe.
Yeah. Oh, boy. U.S. Open Cup?
I'm going to say FC Dallas because they win CCL, and they need it for the treble. So they put the focus there because, like I said, they don't care about Supporters Shield. They just need to make the playoffs. Well, obviously get
Paxton
a first round
Pomacle, Jesus Ferreira come in and just, like, run that
Even
show?
Even, like, you look at Tesho, you look at Figueroa, two strikers now. Like, they have some depth.
New York Red Bulls. I think this is the year they get a cup. The cup they want, but I think the Red Bulls
Doyle setting
open
up
cup.
Old friends for old pain.
Yeah, I'm going across the country to the LA Galaxy. New coach, new approach, I think, maybe. LA Galaxy, two guys getting a shot here. Some of those young players they've accumulated but not played a ton at the first team level. Then once they get to the quarters, semifinals, finals, Cardinalfo decides, hey, this is a good opportunity to get to the CCL. It's a good opportunity to play our first team. Let's go do it. We know we can just roll into the playoffs in the back end. Anyway, Supporters Shield. Wait, you already? No, you didn't. You didn't. Sorry. You spent so much time on the Canadian Championship on this tablet talk that I just thought you'd already made your choice. What do you got?
DC United.
DC?
Yeah.
RFK?
Closing out RFK.
Man, that'd be a classic.
That actually would be pretty boss.
Flashback to 2013.
Yeah, but they were terrible in 2013.
Best Open
Cup.
Yeah,
but they won
Best Open Cup team of all time.
Yeah, so are they –
Lewis
way,
Neal.
By the way, I picked that on this show.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait.
You could say anything about that, and we would have no way to, like, go check it. Like, I'm never going to check that. Like, in 2013, I said blah, blah, blah.
Why?
Like,
look up the date of the Open Cup. Go to the show before and hear David Goss drop the knowledge.
All right. Supporters Shield winner. I'll start with you this time, Ben, so I don't forget you. I hope you're enjoying the show, by the way. We are enjoying it an awful lot.
Toronto FC.
Toronto FC?
I think they have the most talent, maybe not the most, top 2-3 in talent, most continuity. I think they're set up to have a good long season run, and they have the depth too. So when Josie's away at World Cup qualifying or Javinko gets called up for the Italian national team, they have the depth to fill in. Yeah. Still
I'm just going to co-sign long. That. I have nothing to add to that other than Toronto FC.
I'm saying TFC, but I think – there are three teams in this conversation.
We are hedging everything.
FC Dallas, Seattle, and TFC are clearly on their own echelon. That doesn't mean another team can't step up, and that's part of the Zardes conversation.
Yeah.
I think if Zardes was healthy today and LA was healthy, they could be. You could convince me, but those three are on their own.
Not with that defense. I have TFC. I'm sticking to this pick only because I called it like 3 weeks ago before I realized that actually the West is easier than the East this year. It might make more sense to pick Seattle or Dallas for the Shield.
But that hasn't really always held true to Supporters Shield winners.
True,
Dallas won it last year, the West was better.
True.
When LA won it, the West was better.
But Seattle won it, the West was better.
New York won it twice in the past couple of years, but it's not always
Let's go MLS Cup winner. I'm going to pick a repeat. I think Seattle Sounders take this thing.
Why do you hate Portland?
I don't hate Portland. They'd think I hate them, but I don't hate
Wait,
them.
Wait, I'm picking Portland.
Okay. Well, let me explain why I picked Seattle, and then you can pick Portland. There's nothing else to really explain. I'm going to let you go. Yeah, I think Seattle win it.
I think Blanco's the addition. They have to acquire a center back in the summer, but there's no
reason
that they can't.
I think they're going to acquire one before the end of the spring window.
Did you read Merritt Paulson's tweet?
I did.
I love the reporting on that.
I like how he's like, I think. Yeah. I have a feeling.
I actually did. I didn't read Merritt's tweet. I forgot where I had seen someone talking about it. So anyway, thanks for the knowledge, Merritt.
Yeah.
I think that's not a bad call by you.
So that's my pick.
All right. My pick is Columbus. I think
that was insane.
I think Columbus is right there with that group, that top group of New York, Dallas, Seattle, and Toronto.
You think you think that last year was a mirage and that Will Trapp and Tony Chani and
Muhammad Abu.
Pipa.
Muhammad Abu.
Muhammad,
Chani's going to back him up.
Yeah, I don't think Chani's a starter anymore. I think that the defense is a lot better. I think that Zach Steffen is a better shot stopper than Steve Clark. You aren't going to see as many soft goals. And I think if you look at what the team did in the second half of the season, just in goals per game, that is what the Crew are. They averaged almost 2 goals per game. I think that's what this attack is. Good. And it's going to be a fun team to watch.
I'm picking Seattle.
Ooh, this is the good one. Let's go.
If you listen to the show or follow me on Twitter, you know why I'm picking Seattle.
What's the percentage
so you're, so you're saying
one?
This is a troll move?
What? Nah, I don't, what's define troll?
Okay.
It's what Doyle is. It's,
oh, stop that. I am sincere in my beliefs.
Same. Right now, I'm really sincere about my Seattle Sounders pick. For
look, okay, I'll explain my side of it since you're trolling out here. I think it's the center backs. They're the best combo in the league. Nicholas Lodero, you said it. We all said it. He's going to make the run at 20. And if Clint Dempsey plays 20 to 25 games and he's there for the playoffs, that's the key. He's got to be there for the playoffs. Yeah. I think they can.
What do you think about the third DP?
The fact that they will probably have that open and able to use in midseason. That's something that's kind of worked out
unless,
for them in the past.
Unless your Crew, but last year they needed something to turn them around. What if they're cruising? Do you still make a signing?
Well, you still have the cap room and you still have the spots to go get a difference maker, even if he's a TAM player, even if he's a DP. I mean, it probably comes down to how much TAM they have. They could go out and get a guy that costs them, I don't know, $500,000 and know the next year with an influx of TAM they can buy him down and he's not a DP. Mm-hmm. So you have some flexibility there if you're Garth Lagerwey, I think.
Are we going to my picks now? My questions now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're done with the official predictions?
I don't know. Are we?
Yeah, I think we're done. MLS Cup would seem to be a logical place to end.
We could pick another thing.
We're not picking anything else. Go.
All right, so let's go into the more quirky ones. Is this the year we finally get the scoreboard from Jason in DC?
No,
but we should make up a scoreboard. We should we may do like a Simon Says segment on Monday where we write down something, some crazy take he had from the weekend and share it with all of you, because it really is the highlight of watching games in this office.
How about the MLS Nat Borchers Beard of the Year award?
Ooh. Beard of the Year.
Shkelsengashi has
a great shot at that one. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I think he might have shaved it down.
That might have been a playoff beard.
It might have been a playoff beard.
It was a 1-0 win streak beard.
Tim Howard. Tim Howard has got the
Tim
inside
Howard's
track on that
it.
One. He's got the big bushy
beard.
One.
But is that just – does only size matter?
No,
quality. Or is there
– It's when matters. You look at it, you say quality of beard.
Okay. I got an underdog. So, guys, you did trim it down a bit. Still there, but he turned it down. I got Richie Marquez.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I like that one. His is a little stylish, too. Is it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's got good lines. Yeah.
Okay.
Team most likely for Ben Bear to give 100% chance for not making MLS Cup.
Just for the record, that's not what I had said. I said make the playoffs. I didn't say anything about MLS Cup.
Who's the team midseason that we're going to be dumping on, and then they'll roar back and do it?
Red Bulls.
Red Bulls, probably?
Yeah, that's probably the pick.
Yeah, that's probably the right pick.
Yeah.
What else?
Speaking of dumping on, which player will be so hated by MLS fans collectively that they'll be forced to leave the league midseason? We're going to take it away and just say who's going to be the Nigel De Jong Award winner. This is from George Shaw.
Is this both villain? This is villain, I guess.
Yeah.
This is villain.
Like you would be if we were just asking Timbers fans.
Right. I'm a pretty good Timbers villain right now. Ah, man, I don't know if we have a good one. This is kind of sad.
Marco Donadell is up there, man.
Marco Donadell is up there.
He's a very good, very smart player, and his elbows are weapons of mass destruction.
He's pretty smart with those.
Ben, you got anything to add, or you good?
Aurelien Collin, I think, could move in here, but he's kind of lovable.
Like,
you know, he's
emeritus.
Like,
I think Bobby Boswell, who's, I think, probably maybe lost his starting job, we'll come back with a vengeance.
He's going to be.
And just start tearing people.
He's an enforcer.
Is there a diver, though, like Pescadito or
the whole
Blas Perez? That,
you know, there's Dallas.
So did you just call all of Dallas divers?
No, I'm just saying in general that's they were the most diving team.
Okay, and moving on now. Eric Bensinovic wants to know, over-under on number of times Taylor Twellman says, stop it, Gio. During LA Galaxy games,
I mean, he's gonna have Gio on the broadcast a lot, so I'm gonna put that at like 12.5 for the course of the whole season.
Okay, so it's like about one per game.
Maybe one every about one a game.
Yeah, I think I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, because there'll be highlights during the broadcast, right? Yeah, I mean, if he scores a good goal and he's not on there, it'll happen.
Stop it, Gio.
Stop it, David.
Gio is so much fun to watch, especially in the open field.
I just hope that this year he doesn't have the like 15 games where he's just like twiddling his thumbs. He's like, I take this one or leave it. Like, if he doesn't do that, he could.
Well,
be
I mean, to me, that was just the Keane factor. With Robbie Keane gone, Dos Santos is going to be 45% more effective.
I had this debate with someone the other day because they're like, well, he's never run a team. And it's like, well, he never had a team to run outside of the second division of Spain.
Ipswich Town.
Right.
Well, he's with the Tractor Boys. just throwing that out there.
Bearded Jack, who, shout out to him because he's given us great stuff over this week. He said, if no longer Mix, which we can now officially say Mix is no longer part of NYCFC, who's the most overrated player in MLS?
Oof.
It's a tough one.
Who's being really rated right now that might have some troubles?
I mean, Mix wasn't overrated in MLS for long.
No.
He got found out in about 2 months.
But I think he was overrated in that way he was brought
in. I mean, that's a tough one.
It's like a
mid-season one.
I think Yella Van Damme is going to end up being overrated this year.
Okay.
Not that he's going to be bad. He's going to be a very, very good center back. But, like, the way he defended last year, he was clearing balls off the line. Like, some of those are going to be goals. More of those are going to be goals in 2017. And it's not going to be a spectacular season for him.
I'm going to go with Darlington Nagbe.
Oh,
Timbers fans.
How about underrated?
Fix your tractor beams on Ben the Oracle Bear.
So I'm going for the whole Pacific Northwest.
How about underrated? That one's a little bit easier for most people.
But isn't it like the breakout one?
Kind of.
I mean, it could be someone who still doesn't get noticed.
Patrick Nyarko. Patrick Nyarko has been one of the cleverest attacking players in this league for the last decade, and he never gets enough love for it.
I'm going to say Roger Espinoza. I think he – yeah, you're going to laugh at me. But I just think we talk about him. He's been to two World Cups, but he is kind of the basis of that midfield. He's the guy who lets Benny play the way he does. He's the guy whose pressure really sets everything else from the midfield point of view, and I think he's a lot better on the ball and with those big switches and people recognize him.
Easy Portland fans. I'm going to go with Diego Chara with this one.
Wait – don't you guys think that Espinoza and Chara stand to actually regress this year because of the emphasis on persistent infringement? Like, if you list players in the league who will be hurt by that, like, it's those two.
Okay, but that's implying that they can't learn, that they can't take that.
Adjust.
Yeah, I mean, then look, a big part of their game is that physical aspect, but
same with Ozzie Alonso.
You're right. Yep. You're right. There's Sporting KC knows a little something about that from the playoffs. Got a phone call about
okay.
that one.
let's move on to this one from Sebastian C. He says, which fan or fans of which team will end up with an embarrassing tattoo by the end of the year?
I mean, I bet there's a lot of Seattle ones out there right now from this cup victory. I mean, some of them have to be bad. Not every tattoo can be good, so there's got to be some bad ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a 28-3 lead joke for Atlanta United fans to make here, but it's not.
Let's move on to this one from Ritero, our guy once again. Everyone pick one. Next USMNT or Canadian men's national team to move to MLS from overseas.
Jeff Cameron?
Tim Ream.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Does that count?
Why?
He was called in recently. Come on.
Well, he's on
the – called in recently.
Is he on the list? Yeah, he's on the list.
Yeah.
So then that counts.
Bobby
Witt. He's on the list for other
reasons. Oh, that's a hot take.
I think somebody pays big bucks for Bobby Witt.
Did you see the goal he scored?
Yeah, it was great.
It was like it's just like goalkeeper hoofs it. Bobby Witt
one
takes
touch,
it down.
Perfect touch.
Brings it by his man and scores. Like that's at Hamburg. Like all his goals are like that. They just whoop it up there and he beats three guys.
That's not a good team.
No, so it's not.
Now we're gonna go through a couple ones that Daniel Stelly helped invent alongside a few other people. Most useless stepovers in a game. We'll call this the Darren Maddox trophy.
Eddie Johnson trophy.
Well, Stelly wants to know if Darren Maddox will defend his title this year.
I mean, he's going to try to defend his title. There's no doubt about that. I think Ilsenio got a call on
Yeah, but Ilsenio's aren't useless.
That's true. His are more cuts, too.
Yeah.
He's not really a
All
step over guy. He's more of a
hate.
Cut. It's not Ilsenio. Also, isn't Ibsen Jr. now?
It is, yes.
It's Ibsen Jr.
Ilsen.
That's disrespectful on my part, and I apologize.
Ibsen's on Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a good shot.
I think some of these new guys can take have a shot.
Roland Llamas. Step over.
I think Mac. I don't know. I have to see them.
Yeah. Okay.
I would.
I want to see Latif Blessing play. Kid's really, really fast, but he seems like a guy who might like the step over move quite a bit.
Josie's has in the past, but he plays more of a center forward now. Will Dak celebrate against the Red Bulls if he scores, and will we drive anyone clinically insane by talking about it?
I don't think he will.
I don't think he'll celebrate either. Yeah. I think he'll let that speak for it. Yeah. But, God, I cannot wait for that first Chicago-New York matchup.
Here's the real question. Will the Red Bulls fans chant Metro Reject at Dax?
No.
No way. You don't think they'll celebrate him?
I think ESC and Viking Army will. I do wonder about GSU.
Okay. With Innocent out of the league, which player will have the most overused bad pun on their name?
Obviously Blessing.
Yeah.
Blessing is one.
Yeah. Frederick Brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
It's Briant.
Briant.
That's not
his
how the
defending
pun
isn't always
works.
Briant, so.
Nice, there you go. We're already there. Harrison Awful, I used
Harrison
one today.
Awful is one. I mean, this is tough. I wish I had some time to prep here. I need that. Sorry.
God, you can't do a single thing.
All right, moving on.
Who would be on your 4x100 relay team, and who would be your anchor?
David Akam is my anchor.
Yep.
I think that's a pretty no-doubter for me.
Morris probably opens.
Yeah.
Kamar Lawrence.
Joao Plata, I think, has a chance to be in that. Yeah. He doesn't have the stride.
Elvis Powell.
If we're talking 4x400, it's all about burst. It's all about burst and getting up to a high speed quickly. Elvis Powell probably has a chance to be in that.
And
Oduro, obviously.
Oduro, yeah.
So our team is Morris, Powell.
Powell?
Yeah. Why do you hate Elvis Powell so much?
Yeah, there's something
Oduro happening. Oduro and Akam.
Boateng is way faster than Powell.
Emma Boateng has to be in that, yeah.
Boateng is faster than Powell. What are we talking about here?
I wonder if Abdul Salam could get in that group.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Good. That way to shoehorn him into the show, though.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be in here. We had to say him once.
Yeah, Darren Maddox could be. That'd be more like decathlon, though. What month does LAFC make their first DP signing, and why will it not be Wayne Rooney?
July.
Summer. They're making one in summer.
Yeah, it'll be.
Whoa,
it'll
that's
be,
not a month.
It'll be then. In July.
Okay.
It will not be because it's going to be Chicharito.
It is going to be Chicharito, and he is going to be loaned out to
Chivas.
Yeah, probably Chivas Guadalajara for the second half of 2017.
The dream lives. In 20 years, which 2017 MLS kick will you be rocking, most likely Weeby, as the cool throwback jersey, a.k.a. 96 Metro, 99 KC Wiz.
Oh, from this year?
The colorful LA Galaxy. Yeah. Which jersey from 2017? I can start since you guys
all go ahead.
Seem a little dumbfounded. Crew SC. Smooth jersey. Uh-huh. Also love that Acura now is a sponsor.
I'm going to go home jersey on the Quakes. Mm. I think it's really unique and distinctive. So I think it's one of those that you'll pull back out and be like, whoa, this was something.
Mm. Any Atlanta or Minnesota jersey, because you know it's their first jerseys,
right.
Their first MLS jerseys.
Tampa Bay Rowdies. I love the
MLS kit.
Doesn't matter. I love those Tampa Bay jerseys so freaking much.
This one's pretty easy. First nutmeg of the season. Who is it on and who is it by? I'm pretty sure it's got to go Minnesota defender.
Yeah,
it's going to be Valeri on Demidov.
Yeah, that's what.
If Jermaine Taylor gets a start,
right? Or Valeri. I think you also got a shot.
No, it's gonna be Nagby on. And they're
Thyssen.
They're right back, and Simon's gonna want us to each write 600 word think pieces about it before the game's over.
Over under on number of field players playing goalie this season at 1.5.
The Mike McGee Award.
Over.
Yeah. Under.
Under.
Okay.
I just want it to be over.
First own goal of the season.
Ooh.
Own goal. This one is just. This is a shot in the dark.
You could also pivot if you choose to which coach will be thrown out of a game first.
I think it's going to be Axel Schubert.
Oh, you read my mind.
Because after all their luck last year.
It's going to go in the end. New England had terrible luck last year.
Yeah, how about this? How about it hits Watts in the head, hits Schubert in the back of the heel, and goes in. That's an own goal, baby. That's our prediction special. We had a lot of fun doing this, hanging out in the Blue Room. Remember, watch the first game of the season on Friday night, FS1, 9:30 p.m. The Portland Timbers and Timbers Army hosting Minnesota United FC. What a game to come into this league for the Loons. Saturday, the action rolls on. MLS Live gets you most of those games. You can also watch LA Dallas on Univision at 4 p.m. Then Sunday, Orlando NYCFC at 5 on ESPN. Atlanta, New York, first ever game in MLS for Atlanta. First ever game officially ever for them. 7:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. And then we finish things off with Philly and Vancouver. That's it for us. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.